today we're gonna talk about an unsolicited gift from God. Somebody shout grace. Grace is an unsolicited gift. He gave it to you when you didn't deserve it. Amen? It's unmerited favor. You didn't earn it. You can't buy it. You didn't get good enough. God let you in. In fact, while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. His expressions don't change when you do good or when you do bad. I mean, no, he loves you just as much today as he did yesterday. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will always love you. The question is, will you always love him? The question is, will you take advantage of his grace? Take it for granted. You understand? A lot of people take his love for granted, and they don't appreciate. They don't proclaim. They don't praise. They don't say thank you. How many got a thank you down deep in your heart? Anybody? Anybody got a thank you way down deep inside? Thank you, Lord, for giving me breath this morning. So last time we met, I began a series on the manifold grace of God. Peter said in 1 Peter 4:10, we are to be good stewards of the manifold grace of God, meaning multifaceted, a variety of the grace of God, like a diamond. And so Johnny's son, Gavin, he has a fiance in Alabama, and I met her. And what was her name, Chrissy? Forget her name. Precious, precious young lady. It's not coming to me. We traveled all day Friday, and I'm here in the will of God. And I made it, but can't remember her sweet name. Savannah? Savannah. Her name is Savannah. And she showed me her ring, and then I noticed during church, she was praising the Lord like this. Kind of like Laura Waters was just a few months ago. Just said, Laura, what's going on? I've never seen you praise like that. And what happens is the light hits that diamond, and then the diamond just begins to reflect multifaceted colors reflecting off the light. I mean, that's the grace of God. It's not just to save you. I mean, there's so much more. There's so much more to the relationship with God than just saving grace. Thank God we got in, but this is not just eternal life insurance. We're not just here to get into the kingdom. I mean, he has a lot in store for you. I said the best days are ahead for the church. If you understand the multifaceted, incredible grace of God that expresses itself in colors and varieties, and we ended up our last time together talking. I appreciate Jake and Joanna, and I appreciate Melissa and Bear and everybody who kept the house, Miss Carol, everybody who kept the house, and all of you, we realize that we can have church without Pastor Ron, but you can't have church without Jesus. Amen? And so we ended by asking you if God could, if you think God could help you take you through tough seasons. Do you think that the grace of God has sufficiency? Do you think that our God, Almighty, Magnificent, Jehovah Jireh, is able to take you through the journey? Do you think His grace is able to sustain you from where you got in to where you get off? Yes, of course. So, I mean, we have all we need, don't we? I said, don't we have all we need? So I'm not sure what you're looking for, but if you got Jesus, you've got all you need. If you got the grace of Almighty God, you got every gift that He's given. So I want to ask you this morning as we get started, is the Word of God sufficient enough for you? I need you to respond to me. Is the Word of God sufficient enough for you? Do you need more than this Bible? No, in this book is everything you need. Every answer to every problem, every remedy for every situation. Every bit of wisdom you ever going to need is coming out of this book. It's the Word of God. Is the wisdom of God sufficient for you? Do you have to go running around to this conference or that conference? You need to go here and there. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for counselors. I'm thankful for pastors. I'm thankful for strategies and systems and all kinds of conferences and churches and books and authors. But how many know the Word of God ought to be sufficient enough? The wisdom of God ought to be sufficient enough for you. And James said, if you lack wisdom, ask God. He's got a manifold wisdom to give. It confounds all the wisdom of man. And the wisdom of man is called foolishness. The word of God is perfect, totally transforming the whole person, according to Psalm 119. The book. How about the Lord Jesus? Is he sufficient? Do you need more than Jesus? Do you need Jesus and something else? No, you just need Jesus. Jesus is enough. I promise you, if you come to a place in your walk with God where Jesus is not enough, you're going to start going backwards. If you can fill your life with something else that you think is bigger than Jesus, and people do it every day, you make your God all kinds of things, your job, your occupation, your calling, your marriage, your family. How many know Jesus wants first place? He is enough. If you don't have anything else, ask Job. Job lost it all of his land, all of his livestock, lost his family, lost his kids, lost everything, lost his health. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Can you still trust the sufficient grace of God when you don't have nothing left? Is the Lord enough? In him we are complete. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. And we've been made partakers of the divine nature, and we possess all of his fullness. Is Jesus insufficient? No. Remember in John 15, he said, hey, I give you my joy so your joy can be full. Hey, if you're lacking joy, don't try to go at this with your joy. Grab the joy of Jesus. Jesus got enough joy for you to get from here to eternity. It'll last a lifetime if you have Jesus. Hey, one more. Is the Holy Spirit sufficient? Do you need something else? I mean, look at all these things. In fact, Corinthians, Paul says later on that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What are the weapons, Pastor? Well, it's the name of Jesus. I mean, we can pray in Jesus' name. What a weapon. The Holy Spirit, we can pray in the Spirit. What a weapon. One we have not utilized because we haven't really captured, captivated, received the awesome, manifold grace of God. I'm telling you, there's more. Somebody shout, there's more. So when Paul says, 1 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 3, 5, our sufficiency is from God, was he ignorant? Not at all. This man of all people knew how awesome the grace of God was. He did. So we're going to look at it. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10. It is necessary to boast, Paul's saying. Though nothing is gained by it, but I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. Paul saw a vision. Please excuse my voice. I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach right through it. I know a man. So he gives a testimony. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, are out of the body, I do not know. Only God knows. Such a man was caught up to the third heaven. This thing keeps going off. I'm going to get a brand new one because I can't stay up here without no air. I feel like Chris Brown up here. No air. Anyway, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body, I do not know, or out of the body, I do not know. Only God knows. So what he's saying is, I saw a vision. I'm not sure if I was in the body on earth. I'm not sure I was out of the body in heaven. You understand that? And such a man was caught up to the third heaven. Third heaven. Well, Pastor, I'm confused. I thought there was one heaven. Well, the Bible talks about a third heaven, so there must be a second and a first. So the first heaven would be the atmosphere, the air you breathe. The second heaven would be the heavenlies. You understand? Caught up together with the Lord in the heavenlies. The enemy, Lucifer, Satan, and all of his imps, and all the powers that be of darkness, they operate in the second heaven. Is anybody with me? Because that's where the principalities and rulers of this world is, right? It's the second heaven. And then there's the third heaven, which is the abode of God, where God lives. It's heaven. And I know that such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. Only God knows. He said it again. This is not a typo. He said it again. I know that such a man was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words, which man is not permitted to speak, words too sacred to tell. Wow. and on behalf of such a man, okay? It's weird because Paul is talking about himself in a different, okay, here we go. And on behalf of such a man, his experiences, I will boast. But in my own behalf, I will not boast, except in regard to my weaknesses. So what Paul is saying was, I had a vision, incredible vision. I can't even express to you, articulate in words the vision, because it was so great, all right? And so he's saying it in a different text, like talking about a man 14 years ago it happened. It was him. But he's trying to stay humble. He's trying to say, hey, this happened to a man. I'll tell you about the man. I'm not going to brag that I had this revelation in the third heaven. I mean, if you had a revelation or a televangelist had a revelation like this, they'd be on the TV having podcasts, writing books. Come on, help me. America's suffering from celebrity-itis. Everybody wants to be a celebrity. How many know Paul's saying, don't you look at me like I'm great. Not his fault he had this, but he's about to tell you what happened. If I wish to boast, I will not be foolish because I will be speaking the truth. In other words, I could boast. I saw things you can't even imagine. I heard things you wouldn't believe. I could boast. I'll be telling the truth, but I abstain from it, so that no one will credit me with more than is justified by what he sees in me or hears from me. You sounds humble, huh? Well, I hope so. He's about to get humbled. Because of the, this is the text, seventh verse. Because of the surpassing greatness and extraordinary nature of the revelation, of the vision that I saw, which I received from God, for this reason, why did I receive this from God? Why did I see this? For this reason, to keep me from thinking of myself as important. About to tell you what God did to keep him from getting arrogant and proud, becoming a celebrity. There's no room for celebrities in the kingdom. I'm a servant. You're a servant. We're all servants. When we got in, we're servants. When we get off the train in heaven, we will be called, well done, thou good and faithful. That's what he is. So he's saying, hey, for the reason is to keep me from thinking I was important. God gave me a thorn in the flesh. God gave it to me. A thorn in the flesh was given to me. And then he explains what it is, in case you didn't know. It was a messenger of Satan to torment and harass me. To keep me from what? Could you shout it out? Exalting myself. I wonder, does anybody have this issue? Concerning this, I pleaded with the Lord. I pleaded with the Lord. Some versions say I entreated the Lord. I inquired of the Lord. And how many times, folks? Three times that it might leave me. Let this go. Get this off of me. This is heavy. This is weighty. I don't think I'm going to be able to take another step. Lord, get this off of me. Anybody ever been there? Get this off me. God, take it away. But he said to me, would you read it with me and shout it as loud as you can? My grace is sufficient for you. One more time. My grace is sufficient for you. Grace, my loving kindness, my mercy. They're more than enough. They're always available, regardless of the situation. That's why I read. In the Bible, the Amplified Bible, because it amplifies the statement that Paul just made. For my power is being perfected and is completed and shows itself most effectively in your weakness. God's saying, hey, I did this for a reason. Hey, I have a reason for what you're going through. Folks, listen to your pastor. You're not going through what you're going through by accident. God's never checked out of your life. I mean, no, he knows your address. He knows your email. He knows your middle name. Your name is imprinted on the palm of his hand, on his heart. He knows you and he loves you. He loves you more than you can love yourself. So don't believe the lie that Satan's trying to tell you that God doesn't care. Our God cares. I said, our God cares. He's got a purpose in your pain. Therefore, I will all the more. Look what he does. This is how Paul responds. Therefore, I will all the more gladly boast in my weaknesses. Is he psychologically imbalanced? Why? So that the power of Christ may completely enfold me and may dwell in me. So I'm well pleased. Look at this. I'm pleased with weaknesses and insults. Go ahead and hurl insults at me. Go ahead, drive the nails in my. Laugh at me. Come on. Remember Dallas Holmes? I'll rise again. Go ahead and kill me. I wish you would. Paul said, I wish you would kill me. I was torn between the two, whether to stay here and work for God or go to be with him in heaven. How many know you can't kill a dead man who's already dead? So what he's saying here is I'm pleased with insults, with distresses, with persecution, and with difficulties for the sake of Christ. Not just to go through it. He's not off. He's not saying, masochistic or whatever that word is. He's not sick in the head. He said, I'm doing this for Jesus. For when I am weak in my human strength, then I am strong, truly able, truly powerful, truly drawing from God's strength. This will preach in a Pentecostal church. I don't know why I'm not being able to go nowhere. Is that it? That's it. That's why I can't go nowhere. All I did was give you the scripture. Now, if you have notes, you should be ready to take some notes down, because we're going to get down to the nitty-gritty. Can you handle what God gives you? Or are you able to handle the unsolicited gift? That's the topic. That's the topic. We're going to keep on going, because Paul didn't ask for this. In fact, Paul 3 times tried to get out of this, but God gave him understanding. And hopefully by the end of the day, you'll have some understanding. I'm telling you that according to the words of Paul in Galatians 5:4, we have all fallen from grace. Basically, it's a delusion that has infiltrated the church, where people no longer see the divine grace as sufficient for spiritual needs. How foolish. How many know his grace is sufficient for you? You don't have to run off, take drugs. You don't have to drink. You don't even need 5-hour energy drink. Tyler, you don't even need Red Bull. He almost put me in the poorhouse with Red Bull. How many know you don't need what you think you need? What you need is God. You need the grace of God to be applied to your life. You need to realize that every need you have, he can meet your need. Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my needs. What? According to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's enough. God is enough. And so why are we running everywhere? All the resources are ours in Christ if we come to the what? To the throne of grace. His whole throne, the powerful place he went to in heaven. It's the abode of God. It's the throne of grace. And Hebrews said you can boldly go through to the throne of grace. You don't have to whimper. You don't have to hide your face. I mean, no, Jesus opened up a new and living way. The veil of the tabernacle, it's been rent in two of the temple. It's been rent in two. You have access to God, church. Pastor, why are you getting all excited? If this ever got below your fifth rib, you could have yourself a personal revival. You have access to everything you need. Why are we running around looking for everything and everybody when God has everything we need? So to help us correct this sad delusion about sufficient grace, I want to dive deeper. Take you to this place where Paul was and this scripture is just so powerful. Most gladly, he said, what an attitude. Most gladly, I would rather boast in my weaknesses. Why? So the power of Christ might dwell in me. Therefore, I'm well content with weaknesses. He's content with weaknesses. He's okay with insults and distresses. Bring on the persecutions, difficulties. I'm living my life for Jesus. Whatever I wake up in the morning to face, I face it with the Lord. Paul said at one time, hey, whether I live unto the Lord. If I die unto the Lord, so that whether I live or whether I die, I am the Lord's. There's not a moment in your life that you don't belong to God. Did you know that you've been bought with a price? Did you know your life is not your own, that you've been bought with a price? Paul said, it's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live according to the wisdom and power of God, not the power and wisdom of men. What can man do to you? If God's for you, who can be against you? Is anybody getting any of this? So when I'm weak, I'm strong. And it's a powerful text here. He lays his inner man. Many times you don't see the Bible, somebody being so vulnerable, so transparent as the Apostle Paul. He's letting you know, he's letting you in to the very inner chambers of his heart. He's telling you some of his tragedies. You can put it on the first slide up there so they can see. He is really had a severe attack on him and his ministry. His integrity has been called into question by his enemies. His loyalty has been attacked. His ability to lead, to make decisions has been in question. His love has been doubted, even denied. Probably the single greatest beating and abuse Paul ever received in his life. And it was being headed up by the leaders of the Corinthian church. It hurts when good people hurt you. I don't know if you've ever been hurt, but Paul got kicked around, not by the world. He can handle that. He got kicked around by the people in the church. Somebody ought to help Pastor preach today. It's getting down to where the rubber meets the road here. So greatest suffering he knew. And this man suffered shipwrecks and snake bites and threatened his life with floggings, with whips and beatings with rods tied together, narrowly escapes for his life. He knew about terror and tragedy and crisis in every kind of imaginable way. And just like the grace of God is manifold, so are the tribulations and trials. They are manifold. That's why James says, rejoice when you go through various kinds of trials. There's all multifaceted. And so if there's multifaceted trials, how many know God's word said he's got a remedy for the multifaceted trials, and it is the multifaceted grace of Almighty God. Woo, my goodness, I'll preach. I'm just going to preach to myself. I don't need you to say anything. He knew about it. He knew about the pain of being in stocks where his limbs were stretched to the limit. Their muscles were cramped for hours. I couldn't hardly maybe drive from Alabama to Missouri without a cramp or two. Because it's hard to be 40, 60. He knew about filthy, stinking, wretched jails where it's cold, damp dungeons where glass on the floor, excretion, waste, urine, whatever is all there. He knew about nasty food. Come on, they wasn't feeding him filet mignon. Not in jail. How tough has it been on you? Have you been there? He knew about torture. He knew about all that. No pain was more severe to him than this is what he says in Corinthians chapter 11. None of this stuff, perils of sea and perils of his own countrymen. You know, he names a list of credentials, what he'd been through. He said, and all that was light stuff. The stuff that really got me, he said, was the care for the church every day. Because the people he loved were kicking him in the teeth. And not everybody, but specifically one man in the Corinthian church was leading a pack to betray the man of God. That's what was going on. Read it and weep. So in the midst of this unloved, unappreciated, untrusted situation, his love was, taken advantage of. His integrity was questioned. His fruitfulness was denied. His honesty was attacked. Sacrificially given everything he had, he was mocked. Scoffed at his credentials. Apostle Paul, who are you? His authority was rejected. They were coming at him. People he loved the most were kicking him in the teeth. And the humble Apostle Paul, who had been repeatedly battered, spent a year and a half at Corinthian church, a year and a half, and the church is in shambles, opposition, strongholds. His heart is broken, and he's laying it open for us today. Isn't that beautiful? Hope you can walk away with something. I want you to see this. When a person puts his life on the line, unselfishly sacrificing for people that hate him in return, that's the deepest pain life can bear. Psychologists, counselors, pharmacists, are filled with people trying to wipe away that kind of pain. Paul's going to bear witness to us. I said, Paul's about to bear witness to us. He's going to tell you how to make it, even if you're feeling unloved. And so By the way, he had felt this before, and the Lord had personally came to Paul to affirm his love in the moments of his deepest pain. I just want to tell you, two things happen when you have pain. First of all, you inquire of the Lord. I mean, no, it's a good thing to inquire of the Lord. He did that three times, and we're going to get into it in a minute, but he inquired of the Lord. The second thing that happened was the Lord came to him to meet the Inquisition. I wish I could preach to somebody who was listening. Talk to God about it. It's okay to go to counselors. It's okay to have a psychologist. It's okay to have, medication. It's okay. It's okay. It shouldn't be primary. I mean, no, Jesus should be your primary source. What if you went to Jesus first? What if you sought first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Maybe all these things might be added to you, and he could actually use a counselor, a doctor, a pastor, a psychologist. He could use this or that as tools. But what we've done today is we've run to all the tools and techniques, especially in the church. The church has run to techniques and strategies and all these kind of things, systems. I mean, we need to go to Jesus. He can build his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I was telling you, if you're suffering, don't worry about it. People misunderstand you, unappreciate you, reject you, abuse you. It's hard, but the Lord will be with you. Amen? Chapter 18, verse 9, the Lord said to Paul in the midst of a vision at night, "Do not be afraid any longer, but go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you." And look at this. "And no man will attack you in order to harm you, for I have many people in this city." Let me paraphrase, put it in the vernacular of Ron Moran. You go on, preach it, brother. I got your back. I got people in low places. I'll go from under the hood to take care of you. You understand? Don't worry about it, Paul. You do what I called you to do. Don't listen to the devil's lies. Don't believe all the critics. Don't believe all the know-it-alls. Or don't believe all the people that have a better opinion than you. You just keep on keeping on. And that's what God said to Paul. You know, when Paul needed grace, that it took a personal appearance of Jesus, showed up to confirm, to encourage. The Lord appeared to Paul four times in his life. First time, on the road to Damascus. He was killing the church, persecuting the church, and he was doing it with a religious kind of, passion. He didn't know. He was ignorant. In fact, later on in Pauline epistles and his theology, Pauline theology, he said, "I was ignorant." How many of you would say today, "Pastor Ron, before I met Jesus, I was ignorant"? Come on. Only three people willing to say they were. I will tell you, I was ignorant. In fact, I'd go further and say I was foolish. A fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." Or a fool would say, "I don't need your grace." My precious sister-in-law, 38 years old, passed away from pancreatic cancer. She got saved when we all got saved. You know our testimony. Kathy got saved with all of us. We all said that prayer. We went on to serve the Lord for 15 years, but Kathy, her and her husband kind of laid back, party hard, do whatever they wanted to do. Didn't really follow the Lord. But the day that she got diagnosed with cancer, till 6 months later when she passed away, she said, "Ronnie, I took God's grace for granted." She said, "I just can't believe it. I took the love of God for granted. I could have been all the time serving the Lord." Can I tell you, if you don't walk in step with the Spirit, if you don't walk in step with the Word of God, if you don't walk with Jesus, it's nobody's problem but yours. We did it. She could have done it too. What happened? She took the love of God for granted. She didn't receive the grace that was given to her. She looked a gift horse in the mouth, if you understand what I mean. Does anybody understand what I'm saying? How wonderful and how awesome is the wonderful, matchless grace of God? How can we just look at salvation and then turn away from it as if it's nothing? I mean, no, there's no greater thing you'll ever have than to be saved. It's the greatest gift, and it's given to you by God himself. It's not the only gift. He keeps on giving and giving. I said, he keeps on giving and giving. There's more. How many say, Pastor Ron, I want more? Let me see your hand. Good, because he's got more. If you want more, he's got more. It's sufficient. It's sufficient. The second time he got a visit from God was when he was imprisoned in Jerusalem. The third time, Jesus visited him in prison. Third time was when he was stoned and left for dead outside the city in Galatia. Have you been stoned to death, left for dead? Have his friends in the church, people check his pulse and there's none. See you, Paul. I don't want to be stoned. Good to know you, brother. Thank you for preaching. Can I tell you, there's coming a day where all the fans, where all your fans are going to leave you high and dry. This world don't give a rip, and they won't care because they'd rather, man, I'm going to keep on going. You remember the Apostle Paul saying, nobody's with me. I'm in this jail, and nobody was with me. When I was planting churches, when everything was, I remember being the presbyter. It wasn't a big deal. I barely got here. I think they threw me in that pond filled with alligators. I don't know. I didn't know better, so I took the job. But, boy, I know better now. I thought, man, I'm already something. I barely got to Old Grove. They made me presbyter. Isn't that something? Look how popular, how wise, how great. What I found out real quick was nobody else wanted it. I was a guinea pig, kind of like the king who wanted to marry his daughter off. And so he said, hear ye, to the brave young man who would like to swim in this alligator-infested swimming pool. To you, I give half of my kingdom and my daughter's hand in marriage. By that time, he heard a big splash. Guy's swimming. He's swimming so fast. Alligators are biting him. He gets out of the end of the other side of the pool. He's bleeding. He's wet. He's catching his breath. The alligators almost ate him alive. And the king said, my son, how proud I am of you. What do you have to say? To thee, I give half of my kingdom and my daughter's hand in marriage. What do you have to say? And he said, who pushed me in that pool? I'm going to tell you what. I noticed Brother Moran. Sign this for me, Brother Moran. Oh, can you come help me, Brother Moran? So after 2 years, when I resigned, after 2 years, I was in seminary and I couldn't carry it all. How many know you got to know who you are? You can't do it all. So I dropped off the last thing I picked up. That's just made sense to me. So I served my 2-year term and then I gave up the ghost. And then I went to the next minister's meeting and they said, who are you and what'd you do with our celebrity? I mean, no, people will leave you high and dry. They only will follow because of what they can get out of it. And there's a lot of kind of people like that in the church. They're not serving Jesus. No matter what, they're serving Jesus when it feels good. I mean, you got to learn how to praise the Lord all the time. You got to give him your life every day. Any old bird can fly when the sun's shining. It's hard to fly when the wind's blowing and the rain is pounding in your face. I mean, you got to have some Holy Ghost grit. You got to have some grit. Steel in your heel. You got to have it. So they need to learn what Paul learned, sufficiency of grace. My goodness. Let me just give you 3 lessons and we'll get out of here. Number 1 lesson out of the whole thing here. Oh, the last time that he got visit from the Lord was whenever the Corinthians were eating him alive, led by the personal guy in the church. That was the last time the Lord visited him. And it was this vision all the way up to heaven. In other words, listen clearly. If you want to see the third heaven, you might have to visit the third hell. Okay. So number 1 lesson, God wants to keep you humble. We're going to be praying for Rita and Nancy. Nancy, I've got to go see her daughter. Y'all be praying for her. She's going through some cancer. Had to leave a little early. So God wants his people to be humble. Whatever it takes. If you allow, arrogance to creep in, how many know it's easy to do? Pride, the awful sin of pride. He doesn't want that. The higher purpose in your pain is, in Paul's pain, at least here, was to use the suffering in verse 7 because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation. Four times a personal visit, right, of the living, resurrected Christ, glorified Christ. And because of the surpassing greatness of those revelations, the character of those revelations. For this reason, what reason? To keep me from exalting myself. That's the point. Pride can get in real quick, and God's ready to strip down some people of some pride. Don't worry what everybody else thinks. Only worry what God thinks. Maybe we're not the most popular church in town, but when we stand before God, how many know he's going to say, well done. You didn't shrink back. You kept preaching. You kept going. You kept doing the mission. You don't need money. You need the Holy Ghost. So I'm telling you, God wants to keep us humble. I think the church will keep us poor if the Lord can keep us humble. So keep on. I had so much, man, uncommon experiences. He had uncommon experiences. Can you imagine a living presence audience with Jesus? I don't know about you, but I might would go to jail if I can get a visit from Jesus. I'm not saying, Lord, I want to go to jail tomorrow. But I'm saying, whatever you choose for me, if you have something that's hard for me, if it attaches me to you, I'll take it. I mean, rather have Jesus through a hard time than no Jesus through a good time. Are you following that? You feeling that? And so he said, there was given to me an unsolicited gift. He gave it to me. What if you looked at your life as a gift? The steps of the righteous are ordered by the Lord. Max, what if the losses you had were from the Lord? You can't just say, I'll take the good days and not the bad. What if we had a different perspective? What if we changed our mind and said, hey, and it may not be a good day, but it's only as good as I make it. Heard a good song on the trip. It was going to be a good day. I don't know. I was jamming with Tyler all week. I went back. I felt like I was at least 40. I could barely hear out of one ear. Wobble on one foot, but I was jamming. I was like, So he wants to keep us humble. There was given to me. Notice the little phrase. There was given me. By God, you can add that if you want to, because that's the implication. It was a gift unsolicited. And I'll tell you something else. It was a gift that was initiated by Satan. He said, Satan, a messenger from Satan. A messenger from Satan. This is that simple. I don't want to make it hard. It's just that simple. A messenger from Satan. And because Satan doesn't want you to have anything in your life that will humble you. Anything Satan puts in your life, he puts there to make you arrogant and proud. If you're arrogant and proud, listen, God has your number, and he will get that arrogance out of you one way or another. Let me tell you a piece of advice. It's better for you to go down voluntarily than for God to take you down. Just saying. How did he do it? Well, it's just crazy, foolish for people to think they can do anything they can to eliminate pain and suffering from your life. You can blame Satan. You can blame the church. You can blame God. But God brought Satan to bring suffering under God's authority to produce a purpose, a higher purpose, humility, that Satan never would have wanted Paul to have if he weren't directly working under the hand of God. How many thinks God's still in charge? Even if he has the prerogative to use the messenger of the enemy to bring a trial, he's still in control because he has a higher purpose. And if you don't get that higher purpose, then you're going to believe the lies of Satan that's going to trip you up and tell you that God's not good to you. So there was given me by God a gift unsolicited, one Satan would not have given. Now, when you hear this term, a thorn in the flesh, you might think maybe you had a prick on a rose bush thorn. Forget it. This thorn is a long staff with a sharp pointed end. like a javelin maybe, that was used to impale people. You know, straight through you. This is not a prick on the finger. Thorn in the flesh. This is painful. Melissa, when she went through her tragic time and in our last church, we didn't know what to do. It was a prolonged, elongated trial, a year long or more, for physical issues and emotional different things we went through together. But man, she read a book called Transformed by Thorns. Transformed by Thorns. How about that for a book? How am I transformed by thorns? Well, how many know there is a gift of depression? God can use it. How many know everybody faces depression every now and then? So you either get it as a gift from the Lord, or you're going to... How many know you got two ways you can go? You can take it from the Lord and learn from it, or you can, you know, self-digress in it and go deeper than you ever thought you would go, places you don't want to go. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so you got to realize where it's coming from. It's a stake, sharpened wooden staff that is used to impale people, not no tiny little thing. And then it's a thorn in the flesh, not the Greek preposition en, but a thorn for the flesh. So in other words, Paul's saying, I got this staff that I'm going to impale you with. God said, I'm going to impale you, buddy. I'm going to drive this thing in you so I can kill your flesh. So I can destroy the pride. So don't tell everybody you went to the third heaven, write your book, and become a celebrity. That's why Paul's doing everything he can to be apologetic. He's backing away, telling it in third person or whatever person. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so it's not a thorn in the flesh, it's a thorn for the flesh. It's a stake to be driven through my flesh to control it, because my flesh has a tendency to boast, to be arrogant and proud. So there was given to me by God, a stake to impale my flesh. And it was sent by a messenger of Satan. Wow, we don't have time to go through it. Can I have a little bit more time? Somebody was sent by Satan. Say, Pastor, I would never be sent by Satan. Sometimes Satan will send something to you and use you, and you don't even know who you're being used by. You open your trap and criticize. You open your trap and gossip. That's not sent by God. There's only two can send it in the sending business. If it's praise, it's probably God. If it's gossip, definitely not God. If it's fear, it's definitely not God. If it's faith, it's probably God. I mean, there's two ways you can go. So who are you listening to? So I think it's correct interpretation. Messenger is angelos, an angel. So the word is used 188 times in the New Testament. Every time, all 188 refers to a person. So it's either an earthly person, a human, or an angelic person, but always a person. And one time it's used not a person. So I doubt if Paul's saying this thorn in the flesh is an eye disease. Out of 188 times, it's only used one time. You understand? It's a person, specifically a person in the church, trying to kick the man of God in the teeth. Now, just for the record, nobody here at Oak Grove is trying to kick me in the teeth, because they know I kick back. I took martial arts for 18 years. I can put a, So nobody's trying to kick me. I'm just trying to teach you something. Satan was using somebody to put a thorn that God allowed, right? Are you hearing me? And so also Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. And I've never been in a day where the church was so gullible. And they believe anything. Somebody says something with a straight face, writes a book. Oh, it must be a professional if they wrote a book. I mean, hey, The Cat in the Hat was written by somebody too. You have to be a genius. Green eggs and ham. And who sits around thinking about that? But what did he send him to do? What did he do? He buffeted me. What is buffet? Pastor, is that a buffet? I think the Lord sent a couple of buffets my way too. But a buffet means a blow to the face. It really literally comes from the root word knuckles. Knuckles. A fist to the face. It's the same word used when the soldiers were punching Jesus in the face. Paul uses the same word for this buffet. Paul's being punched. So this is what he says. God commanded Satan to dispatch this guy to punch me in the face. What? God sent this guy to come and punch me in the face. Why? So I wouldn't get arrogant. Wow. Lord, couldn't you just tell me not to get arrogant? Do you have to punch me in the face? But it just tells you something. Trials test the strength of your faith. You need to be humbled. And trials have a tendency to humble you. Can I tell you, everybody has trials? I said, can I tell you, everybody has trials? Not sure what you're going through today. We're going to quit here. Pick it up next week. But you need to know, at Oak Grove Assembly, everybody has trials. Nancy's got a trial. Peter's got a trial. Nancy over here has a trial. Everybody has a trial. If you think you're going through life, you don't have any trials, you haven't lived long enough, hang in there. There's only three places you can be. You're in a trial, you just came out of a trial, or a trial's on the way. Congratulations. I came to bless you. I just came to bless you. So they test the strength of your faith. They wean us from earthly things we hold on to. They call us to eternal hope. They reveal who and what we really love. Trials teach us to value the blessing of God over the burden. It enables us to help others who suffer. It produces endurance for what equips us for greater usefulness. But mostly, trials humble us. The second lesson is, and that's where we're going to stop, God is the only one to whom we can go to in the trial. Chrissy, come on back to the platform. We'll finish this up another day. There will be glory after this. Or let me put it another way, Pastor Jim. This too shall pass. You know, you're not going to be in the trial forever. But if you quickly listen, there's only two ways to learn, mistakes and mentors. How many have a mentor you can go to? Pastor, you can go to a pastor. How many got a pastor you can go to? That should have been a 100% answer. Okay, you missed an opportunity. How many got a pastor you can go to? Yes, yes. Hear my Lord, send my brother. God put it on my wife and I, my family, to come here to be a blessing to you. Why should you have to go through your trial by yourself? When Melissa went into her trial, it was hard. Some days, you know, she couldn't control the emotions, and some days she'd be crying. I didn't know what else to do as a young man, two little babies. She cried. I started crying. But while we were crying, she started laughing. Say, oh, are you trying to trick me? So she can tell you it's funny because it's true. She started laughing, so I just dried my eyes and started. I laughed the best of my ability. I didn't know what to do. Men don't know these things. In fact, some of the doctors didn't know what was going on. How many glad for God who can bring a doctor to help you know what's going on? Man, sometimes self-diagnosis is hard, and we thank God for Christian Spirit-filled doctors who can help us along the way, and counselors and psychologists and different people who can help us. But it was just a hormonal imbalance for a perimenopause. That's all it was. I didn't tell the whole world my wife's problems. But baby, the good news is we're not online. You know what I'm saying? Not yet anyway. Maybe Wednesday the whole world will find out. But I call it a testimony. How many know God is good? And he got us through together. Why? Because we went to God. This woman prayed. She prayed so much every day. My presbyter called me in Louisiana. He called me, said, I want to come visit Sister Melissa. And he came, opened the door. She was in her bedroom praying as she was every day. And right in her journal, she had stacks of journals. She talked to God about it. How many know that's a good thing to do? When my presbyter opened my bedroom door, He grabbed the doorpost. He almost went out under the power of God, because the anointing of the Holy Ghost was so thick in my bedroom, because she met with Jesus every day. Probably where she developed that intercessory prayer meeting. You understand what I'm saying? Yeah, well, you know what? If you want to have that kind of gift of the Spirit, you might have to go through that kind of trial. What if it was proportioned to what you've been through? What if God's trying to help you be a blessing? And now we can be a blessing to a lot of people who are struggling. Today, if you're struggling with depression, emotional anxiety, any other kind of thing, I mean, oh, God has your number. If you're struggling, don't run away from the church or run away from counselors, godly people. Run to God, and then he will add people to your life. Would you stand with me this morning? Sorry to go on so long, but I'm going to finish up next week. We're going to be in here a while. Trust me, we're going to be here a while. Did anybody learn anything today? Anybody learn anything? God wants to humble you. So, I'm inviting you to come and to fall on the thorn. Impale yourself. Crucify your own flesh so that the Lord won't have to create something to get rid of what you got going on. If you can be honest with God, God will be honest with you. Some of you need to make an altar. This business of going to church every week and never making an altar, never responding to God. What is this place? This is not a social club. This is a place, a hospital for the hurting. You can get healed here, but you have to receive the almighty, matchless grace of God. You come. We're going to worship the Lord. Somebody needs to respond to the Holy Ghost this morning. The grace of God is available to you, and it is sufficient for whatever you're going through. God bless you.
For you, Lord.
Every time Paul went to God, every time, three times, God said the same thing. My grace is sufficient for you. After the third time, Paul dropped the issue. God didn't remove the trial, but he relieved him through the trial. Gave him relief. Does anybody here need to have relief? Then you need to increase your faith, your grace. God will give you joy to endure it. It'll humble you. It'll draw you to God closer. And it will reflect God's grace on display. You will shine and reflect the manifold grace of God. You are the light of the world. When people see you go through your trial and you come out shining, struggling with problems, physical problems, spiritual problems, and you still smile and you still endure and you still go and you still go. It's just a blessing. Take this thorn out of my flesh. God said, no, I want it to stay there. But I'm going to give you grace to endure with joy. His grace is sufficient. He's going to perfect power out of your suffering. He's going to get power, glory out of your pain. It's wild, I know. But in your weakness, God's power is working. God's power is perfected in your weakness. It's actually the channel through which God's power can flow. So, kind of sounds crazy and morbid, but I want us to lift our hands and thank the Lord for whatever adversity you're facing. Come on, praise him. Lord, I praise you. Not for the trial. I praise you in the trial. Come on, we're not praising the Lord for the trial. We're praising the Lord in the trial. Right now, I praise you. Chelsea, you've been going through a long trial. Oh, my Lord God. How much can somebody handle? He said he would never give you more than you can handle. So come on, praise him. Say, Lord, help me. I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can make it. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Strengthen me, Lord. I find your power in my weakness. You graciously bestow power through weakness. It's hard to understand, Lord. I wish you could eliminate weakness and pain. A human weaknesses produce a divine power. And nobody's too weak here to be powerful. Some people are too strong. But there's nobody here too weak. I'll finish this and pray for you and you can go home. But Melissa's sister, Kathy. I got to be honest with you. It messed with my theology a little bit. Because I thought if I pray in the name of Jesus, my sister-in-law would be healed. But God gave Melissa a word. The Lord gave her a word right out of the Pauline writings of Paul. And this is a verse. She told it to her sister. Kathy, though your outward man is perishing daily, your inward man is being renewed. Your inward man is being renewed. The power comes from the inside. It doesn't matter what's happening on the outside. So you might be wasting away outside, but your inside man is growing. It's powerful. And the last thing Kathy said before she went to the third heaven, literally, she whispered the name above all names. The name I want you to whisper as we close in prayer today. Come on, lift your hands. We're going to whisper his name. Come on, whisper his name. It's Jesus. Come on, whisper his name. His name is Jesus. Jesus is going to be able to take you through. I don't know what you're going through today, but it doesn't matter. Because whatever it is, he's going to get you where he wanted to get you to. Surrender yourself to Jesus. Even in the trial, rejoice when you go through diverse kinds of trials. Because God's working out a plan, one that you don't even know about yet. So, Father, renew our strength. May the joy of the Lord be our strength. Anoint your servants as they walk out of this building. Let them know that nothing can by any means come against them that wasn't ordained and ordered by you. I pray for healing for Chelsea today. I pray for healing for those that might need healing in their body. I mean, say, Pastor, pray for me. I need healing in my body. Come on, right now. Father, send healing. Send healing. Send a healing word. Nobody has to lay hands on them, Lord. You lay hands on them. I'm not here to fight against Satan. It's too powerful for me. I'm here to go to Jesus, who can handle Satan all by himself. Give us strength today in Jesus' name.